The last time we spoke with pandemic expert and Pulitzer Prize-winning science writer Lori Garrett was November of last year, after the Sturgis motorcycle rally in South Dakota spread the virus around the country. At that time, she said that the gates of Hades have opened. And she was right, as she frequently has been since the outbreak began, and unlike then-President Trump, she knew this was no ordinary flu. Well, this week, the U.S. reached a milestone. 50% of American adults are fully vaccinated. Looks like the goal of 70% by early July may be reached. States are dropping restrictions. But, well, is there a but? Let's bring back Lori Garrett with her clear-eyed point of view. Lori, where would you say we are in the U.S. in this moment in the pandemic?
Well, Robin, I think that the vaccines are working better than even the manufacturers imagined they would. And they seem also to be reasonably protective, not 100% by any means, but reasonably protective against the variant mutant strains that are circulating, such that it is possible now to imagine America without the dire image of COVID-19. Now, that does not by any means indicate that we're out of the woods or that everything can go back to exactly the way it was in, say, September 2019.
Hold your thought on that, because I want to start with one question. Masks. I'm double vaccinated. I'm still wearing a mask because it helps with allergies. I don't want to have strangers have to wonder whether I'm vaccinated. But what about you? Are you wearing a mask?
Well, certainly in a number of different contexts, I still wear a mask. I still think there's reason for caution when you're in a crowded setting. People you don't know anything about, you have no idea whether or not they've been vaccinated, how many people may be in their home environment or their work environment who are unvaccinated, and so on. And we're not in a situation where people are waving around their vaccine cards or wearing special badges or anything that Marjorie Taylor Greene claims. So we have to have some common sense. Now, there is one thing I was very concerned about, and at least one new study has set my mind partially at ease on this one, and that is this. With polio, we had the situation with the Salk vaccine, where individuals were vaccinated and protected against disease. The kids no longer got sick, but they did carry virus in their bodies and passed it in their feces. And so the community at large remained at risk until the Sabin vaccine was invented, which was oral, and which sterilized the virus out of the GI tract and therefore stopped community spread. I was worried with COVID that we might have a situation where individuals were protected against hospitalization and death, but they could still carry virus. The very good news is a new study shows very high levels of IgG immunoglobulin antibodies that neutralize the virus are in the nose and throat of vaccinated individuals. And so, in fact, they seem to be protected against being spreaders. So my initial concern about continuing to wear a mask was I wanted to protect others.
Why do you wear it now?
For two reasons. One, a kind of social propriety. Certainly not wearing a mask indoors, going into stores, going into bars, restaurants, and so on. I want to go along with the best wishes of the proprietors. The other is that, you know, I continue to be concerned about the variant strains, and we are seeing new mutant strains arising all over the place. And certainly the India strain has prompted great concern across all of Asia. You're seeing one Asian country after another that had fully controlled virus, a place like Vietnam that had so little COVID and had so effectively controlled it that it was considered to have virtually eradicated the virus from Vietnam. And now, because of the India strain, they have a real surge. Mm-hmm. Nepal, Bhutan, Cambodia, Thailand, Japan.
Well, I want to ask you, Lori, the Olympics scheduled for July and August. You know, do you think they should be canceled? Others like Michael Osterholm of the University of Minnesota are saying the WHO should have an emergency committee to take this up.
Well, of course, it's complicated canceling the Olympics. There's only one body that can do that, and that's the International Olympic Committee. And the IOC is very loath to cancel anything because their whole income is about television broadcast rights. And so the IOC will have its own reasons for resisting any efforts. You know, I saw Osterholm's call, And I thought, well, you know, that's all well and good, but it's not real world. The real world is that WHO has no influence whatsoever.
You mentioned variants, Lori Garrett. The variant that was first discovered in India is here in the United States, as it would be. You know, viruses ignore borders. You were talking about concerns and the fact that we probably won't go back to life before the pandemic. What are your concerns about the variant here in the U.S.? I mean, what does that mean?
Well, I think that America is very eager to go back to being the America it was, you know, before COVID. Back on airplanes, taking vacations, business meetings, conferences, movie theaters, the whole thing. But, you know, we don't exist in a planet that is protected. We exist perhaps in a country that is approaching protection. 50% is still a long way from the 80 to 90% we need, but it's getting there. But we are part of the world, and the world is largely unvaccinated. The world is largely unprotected. You know, the Brazil P.1 strain, the South African strain, all these different variant forms of virus have different attributes that make them either more rapid spreaders or more lethal experiences and escape mutations that can get around your immune system. I think we're tempting fate if, as Americans, we just jump right off that cliff and go right back as if the whole world was our oyster. Until we come up with mechanisms that transfer the technology and the capacity to vaccinate, the supplies necessary, the syringes, everything, to countries from Chad to Cambodia, from Peru to Mexico, and see the whole planet get immunized. Until then, we're not out of the woods, and we could see wherever there is rapid spread of virus going on in a hot spot, there is the high probability, even I would say the certainty, that mutant strains will arise. And the question is simply, do we have confidence that none of these mutants will ever be capable of getting around all of our vaccines?
Well, right. Which is why some critics of the CDC wanted to keep tracking these people who get these breakthrough infections, even if they're double vaccinated, even if they don't get, you know, super sick and go to the hospital. They want this tracked so that we maybe could see an outbreak from a variant that is overriding the vaccine. Lori, that just brings me to a final question here. Your feeling in this moment, did this pandemic make us more prepared for the next? There will be a next. Or do you worry that human nature being what it is, people are going to revert to, see, it went away.
Right now, Robin, the World Health Assembly is convening. This is the governing body of the World Health Organization. And top of the agenda is exactly that question. Can we prepare a better system of pandemic surveillance and response? Can we do better with the next one? There's talk about creating an international treaty that would oblige the signers to the treaty to technology transfer to poor countries, to full transparency in an epidemic and so on. Will any of these things work? Will any of it matter? What I sense already in America is that the vast majority of the once hyperventilating news media and the political establishment have already started to put the epidemic in the rearview mirror. And this is a pattern. Every single epidemic and pandemic I have been involved in, which is well over 35 of them, has seen this cycle where we go into a state of hyperventilation and then to a state of complete somnambulance and amnesia. And I can sense that already building in America. And I think it's the responsibility of all sort of politically motivated individuals who care about these things to put the pressure on at the local level and all the way up to say, no, this time we can't repeat this. We can't allow ourselves to be caught with our pants down again. We have got to take the lessons of this seriously. We need to really analyze, why did America screw this up so badly? And what did we do right? And what can we learn from all of this that makes us better prepared for the next one?
Lori Garrett, pandemic expert, Pulitzer Prize-winning science author. We'll link you to her writing at hereandnow.org. Lori, thank you as always.
Thank you.